What if the secret to a lifelong love of your sport wasn't just in how you train your body? What joy, possibility, and performance could be unlocked through the power of mental fitness? Well, you're about to find out. Welcome to the MindFit Athlete Podcast. If you want to figure out what's holding you back, then you're in the right place. Now, here's your host, John Ray.
All right, welcome back to the MindFit Athlete Podcast. I'm John, and I'm joined today by Emily and Jamie. So we're diving into a topic that, honestly, most swimmers and triathletes have heard of, but might not really understand: tautness. And no, it's not just about flexing your abs for Instagram. Tautness belongs in the next area of focus that comes after breathing in the swim, smooth, stroke correction hierarchy. Emily, you remember how last episode we talked about breathing as the foundation? Well, the reduction of drag is the next skill barrier to break through. Swim smooth, bundlehead position, and leg efficiency with core strength as the three key areas to reduce our resistance in the water.
Absolutely, John. And I'll admit, when I first heard the word tautness in a swim context, I thought it sounded a bit intimidating. But it's really about making your body long, firm, and streamlined in the water. Think of it as the difference between the aerostrate movement of a torpedo versus flopping around like a pool noodle. The science is pretty clear. When you engage your core, keep your spine and neck neutral, and point your toes, you reduce drag and move more efficiently. It's not about being stiff, but about having that active, connected feeling from head to toe.
Yeah, and I love that analogy, Emily. I saw a video recently. Trevor, this swimmer, looked like he was a foot longer than everyone else in the pool, just by swimming tall. Meanwhile, the pool noodle effect is real. If you're floppy, you're slow. So, tautness is kind of the engine room for alignment. When we talk about swimming tall or swimming proud, you can visualize that straight body alignment, but you actually create it by feeling tautness. Without it, your hips sag, your body snakes, and you end up working twice as hard for half the speed.
Snakes is exactly the word. You don't want to swim like a snake, you want to swim like an arrow, and tautness is the key to that. I know that Joe Friel calls this whole head, legs, and body position combination posture in the water, and that idea really works for me.
So if you want to swim like an arrow and not like a noodle, tautness is your ticket. It's the active engagement that locks your body into that long hydrodynamic line. And it's not just for the pool. This stuff matters for cycling and running too, but we'll get to that. First, let's break down what's actually happening in your body when you're taut.
So let's talk core. When you engage your core, think bracing your abs, squeezing your glutes, and keeping a straight line from head to toe, you're basically creating a stable platform. That stops energy leaks, which is a fancy way of saying you're not wasting effort wiggling around. For me, core work was a game changer. I used to get anxious in deep water, especially during my first triathlon. But once I started doing planks and really focusing on core engagement, I felt more in control and less panicky. It's like your body knows it's got a solid foundation, so your mind can relax a bit.
That's so relatable, Emily. And from a biomechanics perspective, the core is what keeps your hips up and your legs from dragging. If you let your core go, your legs drop, and suddenly you're swimming uphill. It's like trying to ride a bike with a flat tire. Possible, but why would you?
I love that, Jamie. And for anyone listening who's thinking, but I'm not a gym person, don't worry. You don't need to be. Even just thinking about bracing your abs and squeezing your glutes while you swim can make a huge difference. It's about awareness and a bit of practice, not six-pack abs.
All right, let's quickly look at why Swim Smooth focused on leg efficiency and its role in creating drag. The magic is all in the hips, not the knees. A good flutter kick is narrow, with pointed toes and just a slight knee bend.
Back it up, Jamie. Tell us about flutter kick. What do you mean?
Sorry, John, you're quite right. In triathlon swimming, flutter kick refers specifically to the continuous, alternating, relatively small and rapid up and down movement of the legs, originating from the hips, with relaxed knees and pointed ankles, feet.
So, when we say flutter kick, we're not just saying use your legs. We're specifying the type of leg action that is characteristic of efficient freestyle and backstroke. The flutter implies that continuous, almost shimmering, low-amplitude, high-frequency motion that serves several critical roles in triathlon swimming.
Yes, it's a mistake to think that, as triathletes, our legs make much of contribution to our swim speed. It's the arms that provide the majority of propulsion in triathlon. The flutter kick is the stabilizer or rudder for your body. It prevents your hips from sinking and counterbalances the rotational forces of your arm stroke, keeping your body long and streamlined. An efficient flutter kick does provide some forward propulsion, particularly with relaxed ankles acting like mini fins.
But the focus is more about just doing enough and not over-fatiguing the legs for the bike and run?
That's right. But back to the key point here, kicking from the knee rather than from the hip. When you kick primarily from the knee, your lower leg breaks the streamlined line of your body. Imagine holding a paddle perpendicular to your direction of travel. That's essentially what your bent shin and foot become, a large surface area pushing against the water.
Seems to me that kicking from the knee breaks that long taut line we discussed. It introduces a hinge point that allows for more uncontrolled movement, making it harder to maintain a stable core and efficient rotation. A strong, hip-driven kick helps to counterbalance the arm stroke, keeping your body rotating around a stable central axis.
Let's not forget the muscles involved here. The quads are heavily engaged when kicking from the knee, and while they are large and strong, these are muscles that you'd want to keep fresh for the bike and run. A hip-driven kick utilizes the glutes and hamstrings more efficiently, which are more resilient for sustained lower-intensity work. We want to save those quads for the latter stages of the race.
And if you watch elite triathlon swimmers, their kick is almost invisible, just a little flick from the hips. Less is more. If your kick is too big or floppy, you're basically acting like a sea anchor. Keep it tight, keep it narrow, and let the power come from your hips.
I love the coaching point on keeping it narrow. You can imagine your feet are inside a 2-foot diameter bucket. You have to make your kick inside that bucket.
Kicking the bucket, that's a real Northern Irish expression, John. You've just given it a whole new meaning.
Now here's where I think it gets especially interesting. Tautness isn't just for swimming. Let's take the bike for an example. Your legs are pushing all that power into the pedals, but if your middle section, your core, is wobbly, some of that power just leaks out.
It's also a massive help for your lower back. When you're tucked down in that arrow position, your back can take a beating. A strong core acts like your body's natural support belt, keeping everything stable and preventing those aches and pains that can really derail a long ride or race.
Plus, it helps your glutes actually do their job. If your core isn't strong, other muscles try to compensate, and that's when things start to hurt or get inefficient.
Just going back to the arrow position, holding that low, tucked shape for miles on end isn't easy. It demands a ton of endurance from your core. It's what allows you to stay low and streamlined without your arms, shoulders, and neck getting super tired and stiff. It also helps you keep your head up to see where you're going without straining.
Ultimately, a strong, taut core means more power, less pain, and a much more comfortable and efficient ride. And for running, think running tall. Like there's a string pulling you up from the crown of your head. That keeps your posture proud and your stride efficient.
I love that, Jamie. And for busy folks, you don't need an hour at the gym. My go-to is a 5-minute plank challenge. Just set a timer, mix in some side planks or glute bridges, and you'll feel the difference in your next workout. It's about building that mind-body connection so you can switch on your core when you need it, whether you're in the pool, on the bike, or running to catch a bus.
And honestly, it's injury prevention too. If you're stable and aligned, you're less likely to tweak something, especially as the miles add up. So, tautness is kind of your insurance policy for endurance sports.
I'd like to circle back to breathing for a second. It seems like there's a strong connection between tautness and efficient breathing.
Yes, there is. Imagine this. You're swimming along, and your core isn't quite as engaged as it could be. What happens? Your hips and legs start to drop. Now you're basically swimming uphill, dragging your lower body. When it's time to breathe, you instinctively try to lift your head higher to get air, and boom, your legs drop even more. You're fighting the water, getting less efficient with every stroke, and probably getting winded faster.
So a weak core leads to poor body position, which makes breathing harder, which then leads to more frantic, gaspy breaths, and that makes your body position even worse. See how it just spirals?
Well, we haven't much talked about rotation yet, but in freestyle, you don't just lift your head to breathe, you rotate your whole body. Your core is the anchor for that rotation. If your core is floppy, your rotation is wobbly and you create tons of drag. A strong core lets you roll smoothly and cleanly to the side, gaining a breath without disrupting your whole stroke.
Think of it this way. Every time you breathe, it's a momentary interruption to your streamline. The goal is to make that interruption as tiny as possible. With a taut core, you can roll, breathe, and roll back into that sleek, streamlined position almost seamlessly. No flopping or unnecessary movements necessary.
All right, let's take a short break before we look at our sequence of 9 swim drills to improve our tautness. Welcome back, team. Now back to the topic, and it's time to get practical. There are some brilliant drills to help you actually feel and build tautness.
So I'm going to start with the ballet drill or ballet leg kick.
This drill is fantastic for building tautness in freestyle because it forces you to maintain a rigid, streamlined body position and drive your kick from your hips and core rather than just bending your knees.
Here's how to do it. Stand facing the pool's side wall in the deep end. Place one hand on the wall for balance. Extend one leg straight behind you, keeping the knee locked but not hyperextended, and your toes pointed. Actively squeeze your glute and engage your core to lift that leg straight up behind you, as if someone is pulling it from the heel. Focus on not letting your lower back arch or your hips pike. Your torso should remain straight and flat. Kick for 5 to 10 seconds, then switch legs. This is about feeling the active connection from your belly button through your glute to your hamstring.
The drill will tell you if your hip is piking or your knee is bending. You should feel a strong, consistent connection from your core through your glute to your straight leg like an extension of your torso.
Our second drill is kicking on the side with fins.
Okay, if I remember correctly, this drill helps us to establish a stable, streamlined side position while perfecting the head turn for breathing, all without losing core tautness.
Yes, perfect. Here's how to do it. Lie on your side in the water. Extend your bottom arm directly forward, hand about 2 to 3 inches under the surface, fingertips pointed towards the far wall. Your top arm rests along your side, hand on your hip. Your head is initially looking straight down at the bottom of the pool, in line with your spine. Begin a narrow, continuous flutter kick, initiating the movement from your hips, not your knees, just as you did in the ballet drill. The fins should provide good propulsion.
Focus on keeping your body in a straight line, from your extended fingertips through your shoulders, hips, and out to your toes. Imagine a pole running through your body. Keep your hips high and at the surface. Every 6 to 8 kicks, or as needed for comfort, perform a controlled, precise head turn to the side to take a quick breath. Your face should turn just enough to get air, with one goggle still in the water. As soon as you've inhaled, quickly return your head to the water, looking down again. The goal is for the rest of your body to remain perfectly still and aligned during the breath.
You should be able to feel the engagement in your core, the abdominals and glutes, to prevent your hips from dropping or your body from bending in the middle during the kick and especially during the head turn. It should feel long and rigid. Oh, and don't kick the bucket on the flutter kick, right, John?
Drill number 3 is the 6-1-6 drill. It's a simple progression from kicking on the side.
But this time, after 6 kicks, you do one full arm stroke and rotate to the other side. Keep using fins. The key is to keep that plank-like tautness as you transition. No pausing or breaking the line. Your core should drive the rotation, not a wild arm swing. It's dynamic stability in action.
The point of this one is to integrate controlled body rotation and a single arm stroke while maintaining core tautness and a stable body line. It's teaching dynamic stability.
That's a whole lot of drilling, and we've a lot still to come. So let's take a pause, and we'll be right back after this.
this party going, guys. I have an easy one. Our drill number 4 is the 6-3-6 drill. It's just a progression from 6-1-6. Just the same setup as before, but now you do 3 arm strokes between each side. Keep the fins. This really tests your ability to maintain tautness through a short sequence of strokes. If your hips sag or your body snakes, you'll feel it right away. Remember, swim like an arrow.
Next up, we have a change of posture. These are the Wonder Woman and Superman progression of drills, so-called because you do them in a prone position, face down with arms stretched out front, like a superhero flying through the air.
Well, that seems about right. All our listeners are superheroes.
Yeah. So drill no 5 is called kicking with a kickboard, front-mounted snorkel, and fins.
That's a mouthful.
I know. But it says it like it is. This is designed to introduce the feeling of a high, flat body position in the prone position. To do it, hold the kickboard with arms extended forward, hands gripping the side edges. Place the snorkel in your mouth. Your head should be looking straight down at the bottom of the pool. Begin a narrow, continuous flutter kick from the hips, just like the ballet drill. Actively press your chest down slightly. Imagine pressing a beach ball just below your sternum. This action, combined with engaging your glutes, will help bring your hips up to the surface. Your body should feel long and flat, like a plank, from your head to your toes.
Focus on feeling your abdominals and glutes engaged to maintain that perfectly flat, high body line. The snorkel ensures continuous breathing, allowing you to concentrate solely on body position. The fins provide easy propulsion.
I think these drills then progress by taking the toys away, right?
Yes. With drill 6, we lose the kickboard and do the same thing as previously. It's called kicking with a snorkel and fins. And the whole point of that is to increase the demand on core tautness to maintain the high body position without the stability of the kickboard.
Although you don't have the kickboard, you extend your arms forward, directly out from your shoulder as if you had the kickboard. This is arms out superhero style. Just as before, your head should be still, looking straight down. Do the narrow, continuous flutter kick from the hips. Actively engage your deep core muscles and glutes to keep your hips as high as possible, at or near the surface. Resist any tendency for your hips to sink. Your entire body should feel like one solid, streamlined unit gliding through the water.
You should feel the active work in your core. If your hips are dropping, you'll feel significantly more drag, indicating a lack of tautness. The fins still help with propulsion, allowing focus on core engagement.
Okay, 6 down, 3 to go. Back after this. And we are back. We have 3 left, and this progression is starting to get a little more challenging.
Maybe just a little, but it's all good. Drill 7 is kicking with a kickboard, a front-mounted snorkel but without fins.
So we get the kickboard back but lose the fins? That sure doesn't sound like a fair trade.
You're right. The idea is that you're going to have to work so much more without the fins. That will increase the demand on your kick, and thus indirectly on your core for stability.
You'll still have the kickboard for some support and the snorkel for continuous breathing, though, so go for it and enjoy the challenge. Focus on a quick, efficient kick from the hips with relaxed ankles. Maintain the high, flat body position by actively engaging your core. The kickboard helps to keep your upper body steady. Remember to hold it at the sides.
Just 2 to go, and this one is the opportunity to really feel like a superhero.
I bet the listener can guess what this is going to be.
Well, here it is. Drill 8 is kicking with only a front-mounted snorkel. There is no kickboard and no fins. This is where the rubber meets the road. The drill demands maximum active core engagement to maintain a high, flat, streamlined body position with no external aids for support or propulsion.
So, just as before, extend your arms straight out from your shoulder superhero style. Head still, looking straight down. Snorkel in. Perform a continuous, narrow, efficient flutter kick.
Without fins, every part of your kick needs to be effective to move you forward and keep your hips up. This is where you actively become that taut plank.
Consciously squeeze your glutes, draw your belly button towards your spine, and gently press your chest down. The goal is to get your hips as high as possible, almost skimming the surface, while your head remains still and your arms are tightly streamlined.
This drill provides immediate feedback. If your hips sink, you'll feel a significant increase in drag and have to work much harder to move. The feeling of gliding effortlessly through the water is a direct result of strong, consistent tautness.
I think we're at the final one. You made it, team.
Yes, and this one's special as it's done on your back. Unsurprisingly, it's called kicking with fins on your back. It's really designed to develop and feel tautness from a different orientation, emphasizing glute and lower back engagement to prevent hip sag on your back. It's excellent for understanding full body alignment.
Grab your fins, lie on your back in the water, extend your arms straight out from your shoulder, like a superhero flying upside down. Your head should be still, with your ears just under the surface and your face exposed for continuous breathing. Your gaze should be straight up at the ceiling. Begin a continuous narrow flutter kick from the hips. Yes, exactly like the ballet drill.
The challenge here is to keep your hips high and at the surface, preventing them from sinking and creating a pike in your body. Actively engage your glutes and lower core to maintain a flat, taut line from your head to your toes. Your chest should be up, not sinking.
If your hips sag, you'll feel a distinct increase in drag, and it will be harder to move efficiently. The goal is to feel long and flat, like you're floating effortlessly on a board with minimal disruption from your kick. The fins help with propulsion, allowing you to focus on the body line.
We did it! All 9 drills. Way to go, Jamie and Emily.
And don't forget, you can find most of these as video clips on the MindFit Athlete YouTube channel.
Let's talk about making tautness second nature. Tower 26 would have a specific tautness focus for several weeks during the off-season, and they'd emphasize many of these drills. You can weave drills and cues into your daily swim sets. Start your warm-up with a few lengths of side kicking and kicking on your back, then sprinkle in some 6-1-6 or 6-3-6 drills during your main set. Over time, your body will learn to hold that tautness, even as you get tired.
And don't forget about a positive mental focus.
Well, that's essential. I think before you start any new technique work, you make a decision to treat yourself with kindness. Imagine you are swimming with your best friend and what you would say to them as they were learning new things. You'd be encouraging and taking the pressure off, keeping things light and fun. You'd celebrate with them when it went well and not make it personal when it didn't go so well.
So, we can really use PQ here. Start with self-empathy. Refuse to be self-judgmental. Catch your judge, hyper-achiever, hyper-vigilant, and avoider. Just put them aside and bring your attention back to the physical sensation of the drills.
Before you even get in the water, take a few moments to sit or stand quietly. Close your eyes and do a quick body scan from your head down to your toes. Notice any tension, especially in areas crucial for tautness, like your core, shoulders, and neck. Inhale deeply, and as you exhale, consciously release any tension you find.
As you execute each part of your tautness drill, keep your attention on specific physical sensations. How does the water feel against your fingertips, forearms, and body? Can you feel the subtle pressure changes as you move through the water, especially as you try to lengthen and hold your body tightly?
Focus on the feeling of your core muscles bracing and supporting your spine. Imagine a string pulling your belly button towards your spine, creating a stable platform. Be mindful of where your head is in relation to your spine. Is it neutral? Is your gaze directed downwards? Feel the water supporting your head.
Notice the subtle pressure of the water on your feet as you kick. Are your ankles relaxed and flexible? Are your legs kicking from the hip, staying within John's famous bucket?
As you perform the drills, your mind might wander, or you might notice imperfections in your technique. The key here is not to criticize yourself. Simply observe what's happening without judgment. My hips are dropping a bit, or my hand slipped there. Then, gently bring your focus back to the specific aspect of tautness you're working on.
This process of noticing, releasing judgment, and refocusing builds mental resilience and self-awareness.
Visualization is about mentally rehearsing your desired outcome and feeling it as if it's already happening. For tautness drills, this means creating vivid mental images and sensations of perfect body position and efficient movement.
Let's give an example of what that could look like. Before pushing off, close your eyes. Visualize yourself as a perfectly taut, sleek arrow launching through the water. See your body as one long, rigid line from your fingertips to your toes. Feel your superhero arms stretched powerfully in front. Imagine your head tucked perfectly, your core tight, and your glutes squeezed, creating an impenetrable line.
Visualize your torso as a solid plank or a steel rod. unyielding and stable. Feel the connection from your shoulders to your hips, maintaining that rigidity even as your arms and legs move.
Use visualization or cue words like long and strong or aligned and engaged during your sets. It sounds simple, but it really helps keep your technique sharp when your mind starts to wander.
During long swims, it's easy to let your form slip. That's where those mental cues come in. Long and strong, aligned and engaged. Repeat them to yourself, especially when you start to feel tired. It's like a little reset button for your technique. But I want to explore with you both what comes to mind from the positive intelligence framework on this topic.
Oh, for me, it's the sage's whole philosophy of ease and flow and the skill of accept and convert.
Say more about that, Emily.
Well, with an ease and flow approach, it's not about avoiding challenge, but about finding the optimal level of challenge where growth can occur without triggering the saboteurs into negativity or self-sabotage. When an athlete encounters a new drill like sink downs, the ballet drill, or any that involve just kicking without fins and no assistance from their arms, then sometimes it feels overwhelmingly difficult. The saboteur mind, particularly the judge, controller, or stickler, might demand they push through, killing all the enjoyment. The sage's ease and flow principle provides a graceful exit strategy and a path forward. It's the wisdom to recognize when a specific drill or intensity on a given day is just too much. By consciously choosing to back off and revert to a more foundational drill like kick on side, the athlete isn't failing. They are demonstrating strong empathy for self.
I love this, Emily. Today's just not the day. But that doesn't mean we can't do something meaningful. We are choosing a path of less resistance that still leads to progress, understanding that true mastery comes from sustained, intelligent effort, not just brute force. It's about respecting the body's and mind's current state, allowing for recovery, adaptation, and sustained enjoyment, which ultimately fosters greater longevity in the sport.
You do have to distinguish between making a sage choice to back off and just not doing it because the avoider has us in its control.
Yes, that's spot on, Jamie. But the more you practice PQ, the more you experience the different energy in the decision. For me, the avoider's energy is negative, somewhat sneaky, and feels like cheating. The sage is from love. I'm making a loving decision to back off today. That's a huge difference.
And Emily, your point on accept or convert for addressing a weaker core is excellent. The judge saboteur thrives on self-recrimination, turning a current circumstance, like a lack of core strength routine, into a source of guilt and self-blame.
Right, and this negative internal dialogue drains energy, builds tension, and actually prevents positive action. The sage skill of accept is about neutrally observing my current reality. Yes, I haven't prioritized core strength. There's no judgment, no shoulds, just an honest assessment.
And acceptance is really poorly understood. It's not weak or passive. Rather, acceptance creates a calm mental space, free from the saboteur's unhelpful noise.
Yes, and it's from this place of calm awareness, the sage power of convert becomes accessible. The perceived weakness of noodling in the water is no longer a source of shame, but transforms into a powerful gift or opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn, to strengthen my core, and to potentially enhance my swimming for years to come. This intelligent reframe of the situation takes it from a problem to an exciting challenge. It ignites the sage powers of explore. How can I integrate core work? And activate, taking concrete steps. It's a fundamental shift from being a victim of circumstance to being the empowered architect of your own progress and well-being.
All right, team, that's a really strong place to finish. So let's wrap it up. Today, we covered why tautness is such an important part of drag reduction, essential for efficient, enjoyable swimming, and really for all endurance sports. We broke down the science, the drills, and the mental strategies to help you swim like an arrow, not a noodle. If you want to see these drills in action, check out the MindFit Athlete channel on YouTube. We've got video links for most of what we've talked about today.
Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, it's not about being perfect. It's about building awareness and making small improvements over time. And if you have questions or want to share your own tautness stories, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks everyone, and thanks John and Emily for another fun chat. Keep practicing, keep experimenting, and don't forget to enjoy the process. We'll see you next time.
Brilliant as always, you too. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
See you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mind Fit Athlete podcast. If you've enjoyed today's material and you'd like to dive deeper, our Mind Fit Athlete community is waiting for you over at mindfitathlete.com. That's where we take these insights and integrate them into our everyday lives. In fact, we're on a mission to help everyone build their mental fitness so they can choose happiness, thrive, and make a positive difference. We are building our mental fitness in sport and in life, and we'd absolutely love to have you join us.